بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Once again, Allah gives us tawfiq and Allah gives us the opportunity to learn and study the beautiful lives of the best of Allah's creation after the Anbiya عليهم الصلاة والسلام, whom are none other than the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم.
Abbad bin Bishr radiyallahu anhu, so he was a brother of Abu Hudhayfa bin Utbah radiyallahu anhu. They both were very, very close and they did so much together. They served Allah's deen together. They strove in the path of Allah Ta'ala together. Abbad radiyallahu anhu was very hospitable. When the Muhajirin used to come to Medina Munawwara, he also offered his house for the Muhajirin to stay. Who stayed by his house? Utbah bin Ghazwan radiyallahu anhu. So Allah give us tawfiq that we should also, like Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, give our houses. Let pious people stay. Let Allah Ta'ala's friends stay. And from our house, food should come for pious people to eat. You know, the servants of Allah Ta'ala, feeding Muslims, feeding new Muslims, feeding Allah Ta'ala's servants, feeding people for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, then Allah will bless our homes more and more. Another amazing trait of Abbad ibn Bishr radiallahu anhu was his bravery. Allahu Akbar. He was brave and he was one who strove in Allah Ta'ala's path. He participated in every expedition. From Badr, Uhud, Khandaq, Hudaybiyah, Hunayn, Tabuk, and every expedition with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he stood out in every one. In every one of this, with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, portraying such bravery and courage was Abbad radiallahu anhu. To such an extent how brave he was, even Umar radiallahu anhu attested to that. It was during the expedition of Banu al-Mustaliq, where Abdullah bin Ubay, who wouldn't join the Sahaba generally, because at that time it was just the Munafiq who would stay at home. Every Sahabi used to participate. It was the temperament of Sahaba to strive in Allah Ta'ala's path. And their women folk would also encourage them, go for Allah's sake, move in Allah's way, strive in Allah's path. Sadly today, for business we're ready to travel, for work, for recreation, that we're ready to go. Okay, shukr, we also go visit family. That's also very important. But for Allah's sake, in Allah's path, to talk about Allah's deen, to invite to the deen of Allah, to invite to the greatness of Allah, that we're not prepared to do. Allah Ta'ala, give us tawfiq to do that also. So Abdullah bin Ubay would not come out because he was a munafiq and he was known for that. But on this expedition, Banu al-Mustaliq, he did come out with the Muslims, and his purpose this time was, every time he stays behind, hoping that the Muslims lose. But when the Muslims return victorious, he would burn and get very, very irritated and upset at that. So this time he realized the only way, and also when Muslims were attacked by different enemies, Abdullah bin Ubay gave the secrets away and actually was played a hand in them coming to attack the Muslims. Abdullah bin Ubay actually was part and parcel of that. On this expedition, he said, I'm going to join them to cause discord between them whilst I'm amongst them. This was his sinister plan this time. So during this expedition, alhamdulillah, Allah's fadl, Juwayriya radiallahu anha became the great wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anha. And through her embracing Islam and becoming Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed wife, more than 100 of her family and her people embraced Islam because of the akhlaq Sahaba radiallahu anhum showed to the captives. So a lot of achievements happened on this occasion, and there was a lot of wisdom in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wedding Juwayriya radiyallahu ta'ala anha. But what also happened was Abdullah bin Ubay was taking every opportunity to cause fitna. Like one occasion when there was an argument between someone from the Muhajirin and another from the Ansar, Abdullah bin Ubay started spreading fitna. And he said, see what these Muhajirin do. Because he originally came from Medina. See what these Muhajirin do. And then he said, yeah, you fatten your dog and the same dog will eat you tomorrow. So this was a statement he was spreading, Abdullah bin Ubay. And then he said, when we get back to Medina, the most honored will kick out the most disgraced in Medina, from Medina. And Allah mentioned this to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the form of Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, يَقُولُونَ لَئِنْ رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُ وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah quotes, he says that the most honored will kick out the one who is disgraced. Allah says, عِزَّة belongs to Allah, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ, and to Allah
and to his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to the believers is izzah. And Allah Ta'ala turned his own son against him. Abdullah bin Ubay's own son turned against him. And his son was a great Sahabi. Abdullah bin Abdullah bin Ubay. Now his son's name was Hubab. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed his son's name to Abdullah. His own son disgraced his father because his father was harming Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to such an extent, and he was trying to cause discord amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did was he encouraged Sahaba to move faster in Allah's path and move more in Allah's path. Maulana Muhammad Yusuf Kandahlawi rahmatullahi alayhi in his Hayatul Sahaba brings this chapter under a topic that when there's fitna, move more for Allah, strive more for Allah, Allah will eradicate the fitna. Beautifully he proves that system of Allah with this incident. Then what else Abdullah bin Ubay did was, he spread false rumors against the blessed consort, the blessed wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, spreading fitna between Aisha radiallahu anha and Safwan ibn al-Mu'attal radiallahu anhu. And this hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very much. And Abdullah bin Ubay was spreading this fitna very, very greatly. To such an extent, Umar radiallahu anhu said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, my opinion, Mur Abbad ibn Bishrin, send Abbad bin Bishr, he's the man, he'll finish off this fitna, he'll finish off Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. So my point is, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told to send Abbad bin Bishr because he was a man ready for the taqaza presented by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on many occasions, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would appoint him on important tasks like in the Battle of Tabuk. In the Hayatul Sahaba, there's a hadith of Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu. And Jabir radiallahu anhu reports this hadith, wherein he says, and this comes under the chapter, performing salah whilst out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Meaning Sahaba would increase in salah in the path of Allah Ta'ala. So we always perform salah, but in Allah's path we should increase. In this hadith he says, we were out in Allah's with the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fi ghazwati dhati al-riqa', in an expedition called Dhatul Riqa', and we passed an area called Nakhl. Nakhl means date palm tree, but yeah, it's the name of an area. And then there was some incident that happened there, and the Muslims continued. فَجَعَلَ يَتْبَعُ أَثَرَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. There was one man who was looking for the Sahaba and looking for Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم and Sahaba camped in a certain valley. And then Allah's Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم made tashkil of Sahaba. مَنْ رَجُلٌ يَكْلَأُنَا لَيْلَتَنَا. Who would guard this night? يَكْلَأُنَا. Who would guard this night? So one Muhajiri got ready, one Ansari got ready. And who were the two? The Ansari was none other than Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu. And the Muhajiri was Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided them on how to guard in the path of Allah and said, where should you all keep guard? Where should you all watch? And so forth. Now they both are sitting and they're making mashura. That instead of both of us sitting the entire night up, let's half the night. One of us guard the first half and the other the second half. So the Ansari was ready for the first half, the Muhajiri was ready for the second half. So now as Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu is guarding and he's patrolling, he saw everything is safe, and then he said to himself, there's such peaceful moments, I'm alone, let me remember Allah and let me perform salah. And he starts and he says, Allahu Akbar. And he starts his salah. And as he's performing salah, he's reciting, he's talking to Allah, he's enjoying his salah. Allah give us tawfiq. Salah is to be enjoyed. Salah is to communicate with Allah. One is in communion with Allah. Allahu Akbar. He raises his hands. The mu'min raises his hands. The palm should face qibla, parallel to the ear and the shoulder. And then tie the hands. Complete submission. Sare makhluq se kat jaye. Sirf Allah hi se jur jaye. Jur jawe. A person should break ties with all makhluq and communicate and connect with one Allah alone. Every part of creation is behind one's back. Now one has to talk to Allah. This was how Sahaba radiallahu anhum performed salah. Like the great scholar Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says so beautifully, a banda has two standings before his Allah. Lil'abadi bayna yaday ar-Rahmani mawqifan. Two standings before his Allah. One is in salah, the other is in qiyamah, the standing on the day of judgment. The one who strives in fulfilling the haqq of the first, Allah will make the second one easy. And the one who neglects the first, The second will become difficult and will be hard for him. Allah make it easy for us. Allah give us tawfiq to emulate Sahaba radiallahu anhum as he is in his salah. What surah he was reading? He was reciting Suratul Kahf. Allah give us tawfiq. It is Friday. Recite Suratul Kahf. There's so much of virtues to reciting Suratul Kahf. There's so much of value. There's so much of thawab in reciting Suratul Kahf. In the hadith of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu and Nawas ibn Sam'an radiallahu anhu, in the riwayat of Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who recites, the one who preserves, memorizes, preserves 10 ayat from the beginning of Al-Kahf. In another report, 10 ayat from the end of Al-Kahf, he will be protected from Dajjal. In the hadith of Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qara'a surat al-kahf fi yawm al-jumu'ah. The one who recites surat al-kahf on the day of Jumu'ah, Allah will give him nur from that Jumu'ah right till the next Jumu'ah. And many reports like this. Allah will give him nur the entire week. In another report, Allah Ta'ala, this is the statement of Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu, he says, the one who recites surat al-kahf on the day of Jumu'ah, Allah will give him nur from where he is right till Kaaba Sharif. وبين البيت العتيق. So there's so many reports. Abdullah bin Mughaffal رضي الله عنه narrates, البيت الذي تقرأ فيه سورة الكهف لا يدخله شيطان تلك الليلة. That home in which سورة الكهف is recited at night, شيطان can never enter that home that night. And Allama Alusi Baghdadi رحمه الله mentions in his tafsir that it is sunnah to read this on the day of Jumu'ah and the night before Jumu'ah. And then he says, يَنْدُبُ تَكْرَارُ قِرَاءَتِهَا. And actually it is encouraged to read it repeatedly. Meaning you don't have to read it once. You read it more times, you'll get more nur. Maybe you read it Thursday night and Allah gives you tawfiq. And Friday you have more time. You went early for Jumu'ah, Allah give us tawfiq. Or before Jumu'ah you have time, you completed your cooking. And Allah, you got time, read it again and read it again. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So reciting Suratul Kahf. So Abbad radiallahu anhu was in the surah of the Qur'an al-Kareem. Whilst performing his salah and reciting the surah of the Quran al-Kareem, he was shot. Imagine the sahabi is shot. The arrow is inside him. He pulls out the arrow and he continues his salah. He doesn't want to break the salah. He's enjoying the Quran too much. And then he's shot the second time. He tries to pull out the arrow. Then he's shot the third time. And then he realizes, I'm on a task. If I'm going to fall short here, the danger will reach Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and my other companions, radiallahu anhum. He goes into ruku', he comes out from there, goes into sajda, completes, and wakes up his companion. He says, get up, ijlis, faqad uthbittu, I have been shot. The other sahabi, Ammar radiallahu anhu, gets up. And now this man shooting them sees that there are two of them, and he realizes more are going to come, and then he runs away. Now the muhajiri, Ammar radiallahu anhu, sees how badly was Abbad radiallahu anhu injured. Blood is seeping from so many holes from his body. He says, Subhanallah, why didn't you awaken me the first time? You were shot. You waited to be shot so many times. He says, I was reading Quran. I was reading the surah. It was so beautiful. فَلَمْ أُحِبَّ أَنْ أَقْطَعَهَا حَتَّى أُنْفِذَهَا. I didn't want to stop the surah until I complete the surah. My intention was to inform you when I complete the surah. But he shot me again and again. And I realized, I had to inform you. He says, by Allah, if it wasn't for my fear of falling short in regards to a task, falling short in a task, in a work that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed me upon. If it wasn't for that, I would have rather died and ended my life than to end the surah. But because it was this task that I was appointed to fulfill, was why I had to complete my salah quicker and end of where I had reached in the surah and awaken you. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. كُنْتُ أُصَلِّي بِسُورَةٍ وَهِيَ الْكَهْفِ. In the other hadith, I was performing salah and I was reading Suratul Kahf. فَلَمْ أُحِبَّ أَنْ أَقْطَعَهَا. Allah give us tawfiq to find such sweetness, such love of Allah Ta'ala, such ecstasy and enjoyment when performing salah and when making tilawat of the Qur'an al-Kareem. Allah give us tawfiq.